to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the passage of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote, South Carolina Public Radio and South Carolina ETV are broadcasting this series, Sisterhood, South Carolina Suffragist, a look at how local women played a role in a national movement that eventually guaranteed more than 26 million women the right to vote.
Sandra Slater opens the door to her West Ashley home with a welcoming smile. She's barefoot and wearing a t-shirt with bold letters. It reads, "Women Support Women." She's eager to talk about the fierce females who fought for our right to vote.
These are certainly the women who inspire me.
Slater is an associate history professor at the College of Charleston and the director of the Carolina Lowcountry and Atlantic World Program. Today, she's sharing stories of strong women, suffragists, like the Grimke sisters, who were also abolitionists, Susan Pringle Frost, who helped save Charleston's historic architecture, and Virginia Durant Young, a temperance activist.
But you can't talk about South Carolina suffrage without talking about Eulalie Chafee Sally, who is by far my favorite.
Sally was known for taking the fight for equal rights into the boxing ring and dangling from an airplane to drop leaflets. She was also very outspoken. The 19th Amendment was ratified in 1920, but it didn't pass here until nearly 50 years later.
You know, there's a great story of Eulalie. Once South Carolina did finally pass the 19th Amendment in 1969, leaning over and whispering, "I've been waiting to tell you men what I think of you."
Strong and opinionated, Slater says it's no coincidence many suffragists were multitaskers, trying to abolish slavery, ridding homes of alcohol, cleaning up communities in decay. Caring for others was considered woman's work, and it became a cloak for what suffragists held close and many feared, equal rights for women. Slater says there was plenty of propaganda
that portrayed feminists and suffragettes as terrible mothers, terrible wives, that they abandoned their children, they neglected their children.
The suffragists marched and protested, and in 1917, several were arrested in front of the White House. Slater says they were thrown into jails and mental institutions, hanged by their arms, and force-fed when they refused to eat.
That is resilience. That's perseverance. That's dedication to a cause when you're literally willing to put your life on the line.
But that resilience, that perseverance, wasn't for all women, only those with white skin. By 1890, black women had been cast aside from the fight, no longer allowed to attend conventions, and forced to march separate from white women. But why, when the suffrage movement was originally tied to abolitionists, white women in particular, who saw they too were oppressed by men?
Within women's groups, there's not a unified understanding of womanhood, and in many cases, it's its own internal hierarchy of power that white women have been very reluctant to share. And you see that most pronounced after the Reconstruction Amendments.
In other words, they didn't want to share their privilege and power for fear it might diminish their own. Slater tugs at her t-shirt with those words, "Women support women." If only they had. Black women did not get to fully realize the right to vote until 1965. In Charleston, I'm Victoria Hansen for South Carolina Public Radio.